Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3, and now it's time for our regular sports show, Game of Two Halves, every Monday at 5:15 p.m., where we host the sports podcasters from the Straits Times. I'm Rachel Kelly, and with me today are ST sports correspondent Sazali Abdulaziz, sports reporter Kimberly Queck, and Dr. Sean Lin, a lecturer who will be teaching an unusual module at the NUS Geography Department next term. Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us and welcome to the show, Sean.
Yes. Great to be here. Thank you.
So, Kim, last week you broke an interesting story about how the NUS Geography Department is having a module called Worlds of Football in the upcoming semester. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
So, the Geography Department will be offering this module, which will focus on the different aspects of football, like finance and issues like inequality and racism. And this is a 12-lecture online course that will start when the new academic year starts next month. This is a general education module, which means that anyone can take it. You know, those who have to be a student at the Arts and Social Sciences faculty to actually take this course. So, you know, even if you are from engineering or science, you're welcome to take it as well.
So, Sean, maybe you can tell us, why did NUS come up with this idea, and what does the department hope to achieve?
I think the main aim is to make geography more appealing to a wider segment of the student population within NUS. Most departments, we have obligation to create and offer modules on general education components, be it Singapore Studies or under human cultures pillars. So the Department of Geography sees these as a good opportunity using a very popular topic such as football, not just in Singapore, but worldwide, to reach out to the NUS masses. So this is something that we could also attract more students indirectly to major in geography, for example, and also to consider other Faculty of Arts and Social Sciences modules.
And you know, it's interesting. So I was just having a conversation with one of my colleagues last week, and I won't say who, but he shared that he became acquainted with European geography thanks to the football teams that he followed. But maybe you can tell us, from your perspective, what does football really have to do with geography?
Football itself is spatial in one of these aspects. We don't, this module, we are not keen in a way to, it's not about a kind of a football management course. It's not about talking about football tactics, whether you play 3-5-2 or 4-4-2. What we want to show is the relation that football has with geography in three broad themes: through regional geography, how football is being played, is being consumed, produced across the world. And you also have all the key second opponent, where you have the social geographies of football, where Rachel mentioned about the kind of the social issues in terms of dealing with race, racism, gender inequalities. For example, why female footballers are being paid lesser. So these are the kind of issues that we want to bring across the table. And lastly, in terms of a wider, bigger political economy aspect of football, is we think about the kind of the networks, the production and consumption of football. You could even think about labor issues. For example, when I was a teenager playing football, you would be curious, and sometimes the football will, and that logo saying that it's made in Pakistan, it keeps you thinking that it's not just about things on the pitch, but how it could be linked to wider workplaces. And in terms of how mega events could come together in terms of the World Cup, and also in terms of how finance, huge amounts of capital that could shape, for example, the English Premier League, or even the lack of capital that we see happening across, for example, in Europe, in the lower leagues. So these are the kind of the core issues we hope to bring across to students, to let them appreciate how football has got to do with, not just in terms of the interest in following a particular club, but also how it speaks to society and the state at large.
So really macro issues through a football lens. And now, does one need to be a football fan to do well in this course then?
No, definitely not. As Rachel pointed out, that even non-faculty of arts and social science students can take this. This is a module that is open across the different faculties. So if you have the points to the bid for the module, you will qualify to take it. But in a sense, if you are a football fan, you could be maybe more inclined to find out more, to try to do well in the course. But even if you're not a football fan, the things that we're going to be taught, where we try to educate the students, it's not just football per se. It's football in relation to society, in relation to other wider topics of race, gender, and the state. So this is something that is made in a way broad and easy to digest and receive by the students.
Are you a big football fan, Sean?
Yes, I have to confess I'm a Liverpool football fan.
Oh, Liverpool, I see. So good year for you. Do you wish that you would have this course when you were at university then?
Yes. In fact, actually, most of my schoolmates back then when we were undergraduates from 07 to 2011, they were talking to me at our Facebook or messages that, how come this course was not offered in the past? It came too late. Can alumni sign up for it? Or maybe that we could explore down the line. Mm. And this is, I mean, in a way, as a student back then, you could see massive changes in the football scene. You know, when we enter the 21st century, you see huge amounts of capital being injected into the football clubs, the rise of Chelsea. Roman Abramovich bought the club, and then subsequently Man City came into the picture. And beyond football clubs as well, during that period when I was an undergraduate from 07 to 2011, there were key events too, where, for example, South Africa hosted the World Cup in 2010. In this sense, it could be timely where we could actually then relate to current events back then. How, you know, he could be seen as a kind of a key identity and economic shift of football that is beyond Europe. You know, for example, because 2002 World Cup was also co-hosted by Japan and South Korea, and then 8 years later you had it in South Africa. So in this context, as of now, as a lecturer now, of one of the five lectures for this course, this is something that we hope to enlighten students. Mm-hmm. You could see a bigger picture of it, not just the football, not 22 men chasing the ball.
And what about you and Cezali and Kim? Is this something that you think you would have enjoyed?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you offered me this course, you know, when I was studying, I'll bite your hand off. As Sean explained earlier, football in 2020 is really a fascinating piece. You know, you can look at it at so many angles, there's so many aspects of it you can explore and study. I would say even consumption of football is so diverse. You know, in Singapore now, obviously, you know, EPL is king. The local league, you know, has taken a back seat. But, you know, you just go back two or three decades ago, and Malaysia Cup was almost the be-all and end-all. It shifts, you know, as Sean mentioned, you know, with societal changes and all the different factors at play. So, yeah, to be able to study this and be immersed in football, you know, 24/7 would have been a dream for me.
We've reached the halfway point of the podcast. If you like the Straits Times Game of Two Halves, you can listen live on Money FM 89.3 from 5:15 p.m. every Monday, or you can subscribe to hashtag Game of Two Halves on the Apple Podcasts, Google Podcast or Spotify, and like us and give us a rating. So back to the second half of our conversation with our Straits Times sports podcasters, Cezali and Kim. Now, Cezali, you had a very sad story last week when you revealed how SportsLink has been wound up. Tell us a little bit more about what happened.
I think a number of people might have seen you know, the application by Adidas Singapore for the winding up of SportsLink in early June. In the papers, I think it was shared, you know, by some Facebook accounts, you know, online, and this was the first real sign that, you know, SportsLink, you know, might have been struggling. I think because of, you know, the COVID-19 situation, retail stores were closed, you know, to begin with. So I think, you know, it sort of flew under the radar, you know, where people were, you know, didn't really have a clue that you know, certain retail chains were in trouble or something like that. But so we reached out to both Adidas and SportsLink, but, you know, both were not keen to comment as the process was ongoing, the winding up process was ongoing. But after the company was officially liquidated on July the 3rd, I was able to get in touch with the liquidator appointed by the High Court, and he confirmed SportsLink's troubles, and he said they owed debts to a substantial number of creditors, which include obviously Adidas, as well as even staff who were owed a month's salary. And we've since learned that the debt to Adidas is almost $1 million Singapore dollars, and the total debt to all the creditors is reported to be over $3 million Sing dollars. So it's quite sad to see a brand that's synonymous with so many Singaporeans, be in deep trouble like this.
Well, thank you for that update and recap of that breaking story, Saz Ali. Well, there goes the final whistle of our sports discussion for the week. We hope that you've enjoyed listening to us. And thank you once again, Sean, Saz Ali and Kim. It's been absolutely wonderful having you with us on the line.
Thank you.
You're listening to Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and this has been a game of two halves.
Listen to more Money FM 89.3, best of Prime Time. moneyfm89.3.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.